when we decide, when Terry brought this idea up about preaching through creation, I thought, well, yeah, that'd be good because it's right down my alley. It's right where I like to think about. I've been thinking about these things a lot. But I didn't quite really think that we could do it, that we could pull it off, because days of creation are all just about very physical things. And yet that's the point. They are about physical things, and we are physical creatures, and we relate to these physical things very, very much. Well, our text today is about the creation of creatures of the sea and of the sky, fish and birds. And you know, we're fascinated. We are really fascinated by these two realms of the sky and the sea. God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And today, even still today, we love to go fishing or we love to go swimming, and we've learned how to build some submarines, you know, that go under the water, like the fish in a way, with our own supply of oxygen, or deep sea divers and things like that. Or we've learned to fly in balloons and in airplanes. And also, you know how on a boat, they'll have you skiing and then you go up on a, what do you call it, like a kite. You're on a kite. What's that called?
Parasailing.
And you're on, or I've been to the ocean near, in La Jolla. What's it called? Black's Beach. There's a right at the top of the big gigantic cliffs that go down. They go down really steep. You have to hike down there if you want to go to the beach. But the wind of the ocean goes whoosh, like that, and it's going. That's why they built this airplay. It's a hand glider port where people go off. They jump off the cliff and they go whoop up into the air because the upsurge of that, you know. And if they don't go up, The thing acts like a parachute to help them to go down the right way. They didn't have enough wind. But it's we love those kind of things. We're going to be those sea creatures and those birds that fly. But what does God have to say? Remember we said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we say, well, what does that have to do with the fifth day of creation? What does that tell about himself? What does that tell about God? And why does life in the ocean and the feathered fowl, what does it tell about God's care for us and his will for us? And if we look in Scripture, all the way through Scripture, it's too much. He says too much for me to cover in this one message. It's like God is trying to show us through these things divine truth. All God's creatures, especially birds and fish, sea creatures, they illustrate divine truth. They declare the glory's name due to God's name. One of the first areas is God's power and majesty. It talks about God's power and majesty. It says that he made great creatures of the sea, the great living creatures of the sea. God has revealed himself in creation. And Psalm 104 says, how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you form to frolic there. The Leviathan. What's the Leviathan? Well, nobody knows. There's some people who think that the Leviathan, now this is the sea, this is not in a bog somewhere, saying the sea. So they think the Leviathan is a crocodile. And I don't think so. From the description, it looks like a dragon. It looks like a dragon. I've read it again and again. In fact, I'm going to read it to you. Job was questioning God. He was questioning God. like a person would question their neighbor. Well, in answering Job, God used the illustration of Leviathan, the sea monster. That's called Leviathan. Okay, I'm going to read it from Job 41. These are the words of God. Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook? Or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with a gentle words? Will he make agreement with you for you to take him as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of him like a bird, or put him on a leash for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against me, the creator of Leviathan? You know, the point is, if we fear to get near dragons, and I don't know, I've seen the movies, and boy, they are impressive. I mean, movies have special effects and everything now. And dragons are scary, to say the least. If we are afraid to get near dragons, then how can we ever treat God with audacity and such a kind of irreverent boldness? God's giant sea creatures declare the glory due his name. I know the whale is an amazing, gigantic thing. Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That's where knowledge begins. If we want to worship the Lord properly, we have to fear the Lord first. And then we will approach him with the right attitude of humility. God isn't trying to scare us with sea dragons. That's not his point. But he can use them to confront the flippancy and lack of respect that some people treat God and talk about him sometimes. And you've heard it, I know. Well, another thing that that is shown by these sea and sea creatures and sky creatures is his care, God's care and provision, how he cares and provides. Now, he provides for them, but this is in relationship to us, his people. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, they cried out to God for meat to eat, and God flew it in. He flew in the meat. Exodus 16 says, "The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat. And in the morning, you will be filled with bread." You know what the bread was? It was manna. But what was the meat? Well, "And in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. God provided for his people by flying in the quail. And I mean, you know, they obeyed him. They were going to a feast, but it wasn't theirs. He was flying in those quail because they were obedient to him. There's another story of obedience of an animal. And Jesus had a unique way of paying taxes. He did. It's coming up due, and I really got to get on it because I always put it off, and I need not to do that. But Jesus had a unique way of paying taxes. In Matthew 17, it says, "After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, 'Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?' 'Yes, he does,' replied Peter. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was first to speak." Now, Jesus was reading what was going on. He knew what was going on. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt." said Jesus to him. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake, throw in your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. You know, Jesus did pay taxes. You know, he did honor the laws of the land. He did understand about government and that kind of thing. But a lot of times we don't see the workings of how he provides. And for him to provide this, he had to, a fish somewhere had to see a shiny thing on the bottom of a seafloor and go down there and say, I want that, and eat it. It didn't taste that good. It didn't feel like a worm, or it didn't feel like another creature that would satisfy their hunger, but he did, and he couldn't swallow it. He could not swallow it. It stayed in his mouth. He should have spit it out. God told him not to, because God knew he was going to provide this. What an illustration, and what a way to pay taxes. Well, Jesus also had a unique way of calling fishermen to become fishers of men. He was calling many fishermen to become fishers of men. In Luke 5, it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. They left those fish behind. Jesus was providing what Peter and Andrew and John and all those fishermen, what they had realized, that this is my life, this is my income, and I haven't caught anything all day. What a bummer. But Jesus is here, and he's speaking from my boat, and I'm receiving this spiritual truth. And that's why he said, when Jesus did this miracle, he said, I am a sinful man. I realize, Lord, I'm standing before God now. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. All God's creatures declare the glory due his name. His miraculous control of fish and of birds provides for our human needs. And like a calling card, God draws those provisions and drops those illustrations to make himself known. Well, I'd also like to talk about God's deliverance and his salvation, the salvation we find in Christ. We have a phrase that we use a lot, we hear it a lot, and we know what it means. Free as a bird. I'm free as a bird. How free is a bird? Well, a bird is not bound to the gravity that we have to do. It can get away. It can fly. And this is a metaphor that signifies, that God uses, in a sense, to signify our liberation. What is our liberation? Well, he uses this, and it's in the Psalms, in Psalm 124. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from the hunter's trap. We escaped. The trap is broken, and we are free. Free as a bird. Our help is in the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the Creator, who made heaven and earth. We are not to focus only on our destination in heaven, the spiritual destination, and the new heaven and the new earth. Right here, right now, God made this earth. God made this planet. God made our physical bodies. God made our needs. And He supplies those needs. Our help is in the Maker of heaven and earth, the Creator. Now, the flight of birds up a bay is still today the envy of humans. But it finds its spiritual fulfillment. It finds its spiritual fulfillment in our relationship with Christ. And we say, how did that work? I'm not talking about our final flight from earth. You know that song? We've sung it sometimes, or I don't know if we've even sung it here. Just a few more passing days and then I'll fly away to a land where joys will never end. I'll fly away. You know that song? I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I can see some of you mouthing it, so I know you know it. But it's an old song, and it's an old gospel hymn, and it uses that metaphor about leaving this planet. But that's not necessarily all that God has to say. He wants us to see, and I'm thinking about another song, that this flight, this flying is about really living our Christian life. And I don't think I can sing this one because I've only taken some of the things. I had to actually, this is a fellow I knew more than 20 years ago. And I had to email him because just recently through Facebook, I came into contact with a whole bunch of these people Rosemary and I used to know in a thing called Gospel Outreach in Northern California. This fellow had a deep singing voice that was just beautiful. And a young man, he still sings and plays his guitar today. But he wrote and said, no, this was not my song. I got it from some group in Oregon, but I get asked all the time to sing it. I'm so happy to be a high-flying Christian man, soaring like the eagles fly over this troubled land. God gave means to fly of prayer and praise, and now I fly the heavenly skies all through the day. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing near. Rise up from off the earth to meet Him in the air. Rise up, O Israel, on your wings of praise and prayer. Now I'm so happy to be resting in Jesus' hand. I'm so happy to be a high-flying Christian man. Birds taught us this metaphor, like the fish. You know, the fish, they teach us something else. Fish can go down to depths that humans cannot go. Even with our scuba diving gear or our deep sea diving equipment, we cannot go to the depths that fish are built to go to. But they tell us something about plunging deeper, plunging ever deeper into the love of God. And and that's our birthright. When we're born again, it wasn't to be surface Christians. We were to go deep. We were to swim deep in God's love. And there's another song, and I wish it related to fish, but it doesn't. It relates to sea waves. But it says the same thing, and it says it in a way that I just really love it when I hear it. And it's this lady who has a great voice and everything. I forget what her name is, but she the group that they call, husband and wife team, they call themselves Out of the Gray. I am a wave upon the sea, and that's about as much as I'm going to share it. I am a wave upon the sea. Someday, soon the tide will take me deeper underneath where the wind cannot break me. I'll be sinking in the flood completely, completely taken by His love. Oh, I can hear the deep calling out to me. It's a siren song of peace. And I long to be swallowed up and swept into the deep. And to the people who are stranded on the land, I'm reaching out my hand. Can you hear the deep calling you to sea It's a siren song of peace. And don't you long to be swallowed up and swept into the deep? Come follow me. Be swallowed by the deep. How deep do we go in our relationship with Jesus, with His grace, and the depths of His grace, and the depths of His love? The fifth day of creation taught us to soar. It taught us to dive deeply into His grace and love. Flying is for the birds, right? But soaring into the heights of spiritual ecstasy in Christ, that's our birthright. That's for us. Swimming deep in the ocean is fishy business, isn't it? I know those are punny, right? But really, swimming deep in the ocean, I don't know how really wise that is. A lot of people have lost their lives in accidents that way. But diving down deep in the depths of God's mercy and grace, this is our calling. This is the calling of Christians. All creatures. And we've learned this through this series, and we're going to learn it again as Terry ends up this series soon. God is declaring the... Terry, you're not going to end it up. I'm going to end it up, right? With a day of rest, right? Well, all God's creatures declare His glory. The glory due His name. Sea and sky creatures sing melodies of God's power, His care, and His salvation, and much, much more if you read the Scriptures. Let's learn from them. Let's learn from the fifth day of creation and join the chorus of dawn. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your grace and mercy to us. Thank You for the fifth day of creation. Lord, I would not, unless I had to preach this sermon, I would not have investigated these illustrations and seen them. They would have come here and there in my life, but I would not have concentrated them all in this one message. I pray, Father God, that we will take this idea of going into the depths of Your love, of soaring into the heights of Your Spirit, of recognizing Your power and Your provision. And I pray, Father God, that we, along with creation, will give You the glory due Your name. Amen.